This is a test. Joanne, where you at? Are we on or off? We are officially having technical difficulties. So those of you that are in the house, you get to hear the message and be a part of this. And the rest of them, they've rebooted this internet 3 times up there. I told them to cut it off. Ain't no use in trying to run it all night, off and on, off and on. Goodbye. She is going to record it and put it on there. And sometimes it happens that way, guys. It's electronic stuff. Amen. But I would say now, if you were here, you'd get to be a part of it. Amen. Let me get my bearings here for just a minute. Thank you, Brother Ray. I heard Quentin Mills sing that live years ago in a service that he was in many, many, many years ago when I was just a pup and just a small person, young person. Sherry, do you need to make any announcements? I was thinking about that. Ladies stuff, Bible study, Dina. When is that? March 17th? This coming Thursday? I was thinking it was getting close. Okay, I was thinking about that. All righty. I'm going to try my best to get this part of this message done tonight. Y'all pray for the preacher. It's amazing to me that you can be here in one service and it's dynamite. You feel the anointing. And then the next service is like push and block. That's difficult. But God knows all about it. If you have your Bible again, I want to go back to John chapter 8. Because I did not expound upon that too much this morning. The Lord took me in a different direction. Well, I mean, I shared, but it wasn't the full message. So there's going to be a few things we're going to work on this evening, and freedom. I'll do that song hopefully later. Freedom is one of those things that we all desire. I have thought a little bit about this over the last few days and moving up and down the highway and going to and fro. I have thought about what's going on in our military and things of that nature. It's a difficult, difficult thing right now to see people go through what they're going through, to hear it on the news. But yet in the same regard, we see people today that are struggling in their spirit, man. Baggage, bottled up, if I can use that term, praying that God would deliver them. I've said this, and I'll say it again, and I'll probably say it over again in the future. It was just about, I guess, a month and a half ago, Sherry and I was over at the Christmas tree shop. Guys, if your wife don't know where that is, don't ever take her. Go to Bass Pro Shop. Just picking. And it's when Sherry and I encountered this young man there. And I wasn't looking for nothing to really etch anything on my heart that day or to do anything abnormal per se. But when I was there that day and we handed that young man a little bit of money, and trust me, it was a little bit. And then we went back and got him a Chick-fil-A sandwich. But the thing that got me that day was you could just see the bondage. How did you get here? Where did you come from? Now, you're talking about a guy in it, what, 25, 30 degrees or less? And when I just start talking to him, and tears starts coming down a guy's face that probably ain't had a bath in months. Brother Russell, it showed me something. Everybody that's on the street's not a hardened criminal. This guy, I felt in my own spirit of the bondage that he was in, and he didn't know how to get out of it. It just touched my heart that day. Now, we're sitting here in a good Holy Ghost-filled safe environment this evening. I mean, there seems to be no threat around us. Everybody looks pretty warm. You look like you've had a bath today, or at least last Friday or Thursday anyway. It's hard for us to realize and hard for us to connect sometimes with somebody that's going through that type of a battle and that type of a storm. Now, I haven't met too many, I'll use the word rich people. Met a few, I suppose. Not met too many lawyers, thank God. Met a few, always under not good conditions. And we always think about people that need to be free are people like the young man that we met on the street over here. And you see on every street corner in this area or anywhere that you go to. But yet we think about even lawyers or attorneys or somebody that's seemingly quote unquote got it made. But yet their pain on the inside of them may be a different kind of pain, but yet the freedom is the same. Is everybody's looking for this thing today called freedom. Now, I'm not talking about freedom from war. I'm not talking about things like that I mentioned earlier. I'm talking about this internal thing. That Jesus, when Jesus again met this woman that had very explicitly been found guilty of what her accusers had accused her of. Jesus even dealt with that. Jesus said, you've had five husbands, and even the one that you're shacked up with right now is not your husband. Now, I left off this morning, and I left off there in John, again, chapter number 8 earlier, where that Jesus told her, and he said that neither, John 4, excuse me, and he says, I don't condemn thee no either. I don't condemn thee. And Jesus set her free. When you look in John 8 and 31, it picks up again where that that was in John, the first part of John 8. I'm turning to John 4 in a minute. But we see this in the scripture, and we see that where Jesus said to those Jews in verse number 31 that believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Another word that, again, comes off the page, two words technically. One is if. Jesus reminded them that it's not everybody that saith, Lord, Lord, but it's he that doeth the will of the Father. He says, if you continue. The next word is continue. You've got to continue. We've got to keep after him. If you want your freedom, you've got to continue to serve him. And I'll get into a little bit of that later on. Probably about 8:30. Just kidding. And then we see here in the word where the Bible says in verse number 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, we are Abraham's seed, and we never were into bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall make me free, or ye shall make me free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. And then in verse number 36 says, if the son therefore make you free, you shall be free indeed. Stretch your hand this way and pray for me tonight. Father, I love you tonight, and I praise you, and I thank you, God. I thank you, Father God, for the time to be back in your house. And Lord, I just yield myself to you, and I say, Holy Spirit, have your way. Have your way in this room, and have your way in this place tonight, God. Have your way in the service that we are here right now to be a part of. Lord, I thank you, God, for the time that you've given us to be here. And Lord, we love you, honor, and praise you. And we thank you for what you're doing. Anoint us, God, to share from our heart the thing that you've laid upon my heart this evening. Father, I praise you, and I thank you, Father, for the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have your way, and everything that's said and done, and all the people of God says, amen. Now, the thing that's before me this evening, again, it's so much that I've studied and put together, there's no way I'm going to try to do all this tonight. I just want you to know I'm not going to try to get it all in there and cram it all in tonight. When I begin to think about these scriptures and what Jesus actually began to tell them, he began to tell them in verse number 31, he said, if you continue in my word. So Jesus basically, and again, Jesus was telling them, and let me say it like this, if you really want to be free, your freedom is found in my word. The Bible reminds us that heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will stand forever. I was reading through scripture and just looking at different scriptures about this, and there's a whole lot of different scriptures that mention the word. The Bible teaches us, he says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, is a light unto my pathway. The word of God leads us. Again, the word, when you think about the word, we think about what the Bible says in John chapter number 6 and 63. Again, all throughout the book of John, the scriptures that are based upon the word of God, and he says this again. He says, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. Now, Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The words that I speak unto you today, you know this as well as me, that there are those today that will argue the word. They don't want to adhere to the word. And I look at people today and you try to teach people the scripture and you try to teach people the word of God. And again, this is just me and how I feel. And you can tell people to turn to the word or read the word and give their life over to the word of God. Take the word of God. David said, hide the word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Too often people want free, but they don't want the word. Then he teaches us in the word, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. His word, when we think about the word, there is several places throughout here that actually talks about the word. And again, I'm not going to take the time to read all of it, but I want to talk about a little bit of it. John, again, is talking about the word. He's talking about Jesus, of course, and John chapter number 1, I think the young people, the children in one of their classes this morning talked about this very verse of scripture, or the one in Genesis, in the beginning was the word, and John 1:1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm just simply saying this, if we're going to be free in our lives and free as a church and free as a person, that it's got to be based upon the word of God, based upon truth. I'll get into that in a minute. But he says here in the word, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. You can read that all the way down through verse number 14. And he said, and the truth was, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So that's the next thing. So if we're going to be free, our lives must be built upon the Word of God. The Word of God is imperative to us. The Word of God will lead us. The Word of God would guide us. The second thing we think about in the Word, we think about, again, in John 1 and 14, where the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. In Psalm 119 and 103, this is what the Word of God says. It says, how sweet are the words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than the honeycomb to my mouth. Psalm 34 and 8 says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. First thing we got to be, if we're gonna have freedom tonight, we've got to have everything in our life based upon the Word of God. Number two is simply this. And again, we see this in the text. We see this in verse 32. It says, and you shall know the truth, and it is the truth that sets you free. In our society today, I wonder sometimes if we really get the truth. I mean, you know, and I'm not going to do a political statement right here, but you don't even know what's on the news anymore. You know, you hear this term, I don't know who invented it, but I got an idea. They use the terminology fake news. I don't know what's true and what ain't true. But I'll say this, that Jesus said in the Word, if you look at this, he says in the Word, and you shall know the truth. Truth, by definition, is factual, and it's something that's not built upon theory, it's not built upon falsehoods. It is the absolute truth. In the courtroom, you solemnly take an oath or whatever they might say, to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you, Lord. If our world would get back to the truth. Because Jesus dealt with the truth. Thy word is truth. People want to be free. They've got to get into the Word of God. It's got to be built on the truth. I think about the Scripture where it talks about, again, I'm not going to take the time to turn there and read it, but I think about when the Bible, Jesus is talking, and Jesus was saying that a man built his house, and he built a house upon the sand. And he says, and there was a great storm come, and it beat upon that house vehemently, fiercely. And then he said, because that house did not have a foundation, the Bible says, great was the fall thereof. But yet, the man's house, the man's home that was built upon the truth, it had a foundation. The storms come, the winds blew, but the house did not fall because it was established on the truth. You ever notice something? You ever noticed things in life when, you know, the Bible reminds us that Satan is the father of lies. Now, again, I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm not trying to point fingers. It's just an observation of mine. You ever notice anybody tells lies? Know a few of them, huh? I've noticed this, Brother Jones. They don't even have to think about it. It just rolls right off their lips. They don't even have to process it. I mean, it just flows just right. And I don't know how they can formulate so much of and I'm thinking, I know exactly how it is. Because they're of the devil. And the Bible says that the devil himself is the father of lies. Amen. But Jesus came back and Jesus told these Pharisees, when you begin to look at this and the Jews that was there on this occasion, he was telling them, you've got to know the truth. Now again, when you look at this in the context of the Scripture, Jesus was talking to the Jews that were still being held strictly by the traditions at that time, by the Judaism, by the law, and Jesus was trying to get them to break free from the law and from the things of man, the traditions of man, and put their faith and their confidence solely upon Him. What would our world look like today? Jesus again reminds the woman, this woman with the five husbands and this woman at the well, they've kindly run together with me today. But in John 4, we see that Jesus was there, and Jesus was there with this lady that had met there at Jacob's well, and He deliberately met her there. And there's a long story. I'm not going to go through the whole thing and talk about it. We'll preach it another time. But one of the things that comes up in my mind is down there in verse 21 of John chapter 4, where Jesus looks at this woman and says these words, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. And then says in verse number 22, you worship, you know what? They did not, they were worshiping something that was handed from generation to generation, and there at Jacob's well, they didn't even know why they were doing it or realize they were doing what they were doing or why they were doing. And Jesus looks back at her, and then he tells them these very words. He says, let me go back to do 22 again. And it says, you worship, you know not what. You know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But Jesus comes back and says in verse 23, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit. And God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, I don't know how that hits you. I don't know how that connects with you this evening. But the truth. The Bible says that you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So if you're going to be free, your truth, your word, your life has got to be based on the truth of God's word. Truth. Not a half truth. You know, a half truth is still a full lie. Hello? A half truth will not be what you need. I need Jesus. Again, what the world needs today is an encounter with the living God, an encounter with Jesus. And we see this all throughout the Word of God. The Bible reminds you and I that the truth will set us free. We see that if the Son is set in verse 36, and if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Several verses of Scripture. Again, I don't think I'm going to have time to go all the way through every bit of this, but one of the things I begin to do, I begin to look through the Scripture that talks about setting men free. The first thing I thought about was being set free from sin and death. The Bible reminds us in several different Scriptures, it's Scriptures over in the book of Romans that we look at, and I'm going to turn there because I want to see them for myself and keep up with myself up here. Romans chapter number 6, we know the book of Romans chapter 6 talks about the new life that's found in the Lord Jesus Himself. Paul, again, he deals with that whole thing about the newness of life. And then he talks about this in several different scriptures all the way through the book of Romans. The Bible says, being then made free from sin, in verse number 18, you become servants of righteousness. As the church, as the people of God, as the children of God, you and I, the truth will make you free. Free from what? Free from the bondages of sin and the grip that Satan had one time on our life. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for that. Again, when you look at this scripture, he says, being then made free from sin. He goes back and he says this in the earlier part, again, Paul talking about this. He says throughout the scripture, knowing that Christ, verse 9, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. And it says, death hath no more dominion over him. And then he says, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that liveth, he liveth unto God. Verse 11 says, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Be dead unto sin. And then he says, let not sin therefore set up housekeeping. In verse number 12, let not sin therefore reign. Let it not set up housekeeping in your body. Let it not establish itself in your body that you should obey it and the lust thereof. Verse 13, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. And then he reminds us in the scripture several places how that in verse number 6 and verse number 14, he says, for sin shall not control, shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. So we see this, Paul again warned, and again, there's a variety of different scriptures that's in front of me. But Christ died to set you free, and Christ died to set me free. Again, in the scripture we see this, there's two scriptures that reminds us that we've been made sons of God. And again, I'm trying to just hit some high spots here. But 1 Peter chapter 2 reminds us again about this whole thing about being free from sin and allowing sin to be the controlling factor over our lives. Now I just need to hit the pause button. There's not a person in this room that at some point, shape, form, or fashion that I know of that at some point would not be tempted to sin, because the devil is the tempter. And the devil is always going to and fro seeking whom he may devour. My temptation may not be your temptation. Your temptation may not be my temptation. But the fact of the matter is simply this, that God has given us the truth, and God's given us His Word, God's given us His Spirit, and you and I are no longer spiritual casualties on the road to deliverance, my friend, necessarily, but we have been set free from the bondages and the grip of sin. I don't know about you, but this is the quietest Presbyterian church I've been in a long time. Set free. Set free. Thank God I'm free. Thank God you're free. Again, if I went back and talked about a lot of scriptures that I've got down in front of me this evening. Again, 1 Peter, we can turn there really quick because it mentions these very same things, and it talks about the very fact that we don't need to allow sin to have dominion over us. And then, this is an interesting thing. Now, I put this in here because He teaches us that we are not, if we're going to live in truth, we cannot cover up sin. If we're going to live free, if we're going to live in truth, 1 Peter talks about that, chapter 2, verse 16. And this is what he says there in the scripture. And he says this, let me find it, and then I'll tell you what it says. He says, as free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God. Again, he talks about that getting bound or getting back in the things that God has delivered you from. And then again, he talks about that we're to love one another. Scriptures that I could use this evening, loving one another. Don't allow your freedom to become a stumbling block to somebody else. Paul talked about that. He said, when I was a Jew, I spake as a Jew. When I was with this, when I was with this. And he talked about not using your freedom or your liberty to be a blockage or a hindrance. He said, but only this one thing you're to do is not to use that liberty as a stumbling block, but this one thing you can do is love one another. Paul talked about that. Excuse me, Peter talked about that. We see this. We see this in the Word of God in verses 16 and 17. He says, honor all men. He says, love the brethren, fear God, and honor the king. Another scripture too I want to share with you. I don't know how many pages I got here. Several. I didn't think I'd get done, but I'm getting closer than I was a while ago. This is the scripture in Galatians 5 and 13 that actually talks about this. When you look in the scripture, I want to turn there as well, because Galatians is one of my favorite books. And he says this in the Word. He said, and this is the scripture that I mentioned. He said, for brethren, you have been called to liberty. He says, only use not your liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but love, serve one another. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in love. The Bible says that, and if you do that, the Bible reminds us that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17 of Galatians 5 says, For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Verse 18 says, but if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. When we look at our text again, Jesus dealt with this with his disciples in verse 33, because they thought that they were free because they were Abraham's seed, because of their genetics and because of who they were associated or who they were a part of. And Jesus, again, he comes back and he talks about this with the very guys that were standing there listening to him. And he reminded them, he said again, when you look at this, he said, and the servants abideth not in the house forever. In other words, he's talking about the bondage of sin, but the Son abideth ever. I thought about that today when I was looking back over my stuff and my notes and things. And again, I'm not going to take the time to go there tonight, or I'll get stuck, and I don't want to do that right now. But when you go back into John 15 and 1, there's a scripture there that prompted that song earlier, Penny, that we sung. And this is what he says in John 15. And he says this in the Word, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. And Jesus is actually given an analogy of being connected. And he jumps down and he says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the Word, which I have spoken unto you. Look at this. Verse 4. And he says, abide in me. You want to be free? Abide in him. Choose him. Choose Christ over everything else. Choose him over everything else in life. Abide in me, and I in you. Look at that. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, look at this, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. Christ is the one that sets us free. Some other scripture that's not relative to where I feel like I'm at right now. There's a couple more scriptures that I wanted to read to you. First scripture is found there in 2 Corinthians 3 and 17 that simply says that it is Christ alone that provides this freedom. Aren't you glad you're free? Body, soul, spirit. I'm going to be honest. There have been a lot of times in my life I've not been free. Oh, I preach. But it's just like a prison in my mind. Brother Steve, you know what I'm talking about. Like a prison in my mind. It seems like you go to bed at night and you lay there and you look at the wall, you look at the clock. Just seemingly worried and concerned about everything in life. A lot of things you have no control over. But I tell you what, friend, true freedom can happen when you and I understand that we're not God. Took me a long time, and that don't mean I'm still not Mr. Fix-It. That don't mean that. There's the responsibilities that we all have. We feel that way, don't we? But when we trust in God, Brother Dotson always used to tell me, and he'd say, son, he said, I tell you what I do. He said, I go in there and I pray and I say, Lord, I've carried this thing all day long. He said, now I'm going to go in there, Lord. I'm going to lay down and I'm going to go to sleep. And I'm going to let you carry it all night long. He said that over and over to me at times. And he would say, son, just don't worry about it. I remember Brother Dotson so many times would tell me, he'd say, son, he'd always call me, son, let me tell you. He said, this is where I'm at in my life. This is him talking to me. He'd say, if it ain't a matter of life and death or heaven or hell, he said, I don't pay much attention to it. And we worry ourselves sick over things a lot of times that our worry don't have a lot to do with the outcome of what's going on around us. But we can get freedom on truth. Thy word is truth. We can get freedom by trusting in him. We can get freedom when we think about what Jesus said here in the scripture, that we do not allow the flesh to control and dominate, and we don't let the enemy set up housekeeping in our heart. The last thing we want to talk about right here again in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse 17. He says, now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, think about this, where the Spirit of the Lord is. Now I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about in your heart. I'm thinking about where the Spirit of the Lord is. And Jesus abides in our heart. It says, the Bible says there is freedom. There is liberty. Now this next scripture I'm gonna have to turn to because I didn't write it down, but I know I wanted to hit it before we left tonight. This is actually taken from Isaiah, but it's where Jesus was there, and Jesus was actually reading the Word of God, and he says this in Luke number 4 and then verse 18. It's a rendering from Isaiah. It's where Jesus, again, he takes the Word of God. He's there in the temple, and he opens the book and he begins to teach in the synagogue and the temple. And this is what he read. If you've got a red letter edition, it should be written in red in your Bible. Which reminds me that these are the very words that Jesus spoke, translated probably out of the Aramaic into what we understand as the English language today. That the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Blessed are the poor in spirit, poor. And he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Heal the brokenhearted. Anybody ever had a broken heart? Let God bring you freedom tonight. He says in the Word, he says, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance. To preach deliverance. To preach deliverance, the Bible said, to the captives. And I'm not talking about the ones in Ukraine, even though that's a part of it. You and I, we've been in bondages of sin, in bondages of the flesh, bondages of our own life. But freedom. Freedom comes only through Christ. He looks here and again, he said, preaching deliverance to the captives. And the recovering of sight to the blind. Spiritual blindness. Even though Jesus took the clay and he took the spittle and he put it in the man's eye. Healed him physically. But how many of you and how many of myself was spiritually blind? Hello? And then he says, to set at liberty. To set at freedom, those that are bruised. This again, he said in verse 19, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now I'm just operating on assumption here tonight. On assumption. And my assumption is that everybody that's in this room tonight is free. My assumption is that there's nobody in this room needs anything from God, because we're walking on cloud 10 and we don't need anything. I'm assuming that. I mean, we're the Sunday night crowd, we're faithful and we're here and they're not. I mean, we could have that kind of attitude, couldn't we? But it's a wrong attitude. I know we need God. I know that. I'm going to turn this mic on right here, Chris. There's a song I want you to stand up. I think we got it up there. And I got to have a drink of water before I sing this song. I'm not going to do the verses, just the chorus. How many of you know this chorus? Raymond knows it. Ray knows it. Ready? I got to get the key on it. I am free, 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 I am free. Jesus broke the chains that bound me, I am free. Life has meaning now for me, I've been given liberty. Through the blood of Calvary, I am living and I am free. Now you know it, let's sing it together. I am free, free. I am free. Life has meaning now for me. I've been given liberty through the blood of Calvary. I am living. I am free. How many of you are free tonight? Let's pray together. Father, I honor you and I love you and I thank you and I praise you. I thank you for thy word is truth. I pray, Father God, that this humble effort to share these verses of Scripture in this room tonight will go forth as a reminder to everybody that's in this room that greater is he that's within us than he that's in the world. And I am free, free, free. I'm free from the dominance of sin. I'm free from the dominance of the enemy. I'm free from the dominance of the flesh. That whom the Lord has set free is free indeed. And Father, I thank you for your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Go home, get you a big old night's sleep, and adjust your time. And we'll all see you next Wednesday night. Amen. God bless you.